It was down at the feet of Jesus. Oh, the blessed, happy day, where the light first dawned on my spirit, and my soul was full.
Chapter 2 in your Bible, second chapter, book of Acts, familiar passage. Give you a moment to find it. Tony's been a blessing through singing today. Now he's off to teach a group of 4th, 5th, and 6th grade boys that came in on the bus this morning. I appreciate that, don't you? Not too fancy, even with a beautiful singing voice, just to go and get a bunch of kids and teach them the Word of God. Great for us this morning. Acts chapter 2, if you found it, let's stand together in honor of God's Word. I'm going to begin reading in verse 37. If you're not able to stand, that's fine. Follow along. Verse 37, now when they heard this, talking about Peter's message, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as that our Lord God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Now notice this. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. My title is taken from verse 41, one word in verse 41. That's the word them. Do you see that? Added unto them. I want to preach on them today. Father, thank you for the privilege to be in this service. Our hearts have been blessed through good music, and you ordained that in your book. You told us that psalms and hymns and spiritual songs would be a great help and blessing to us. But Lord, there's nothing like the preaching of your word. Not because I'm doing it, but because that's what you said. You manifested your word to us through preaching. And so make truth known to us this morning through your word and the preaching of it. Fill us with spirit, your spirit, please, please, both speaker and listener. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. Be seated. Keep your Bible open because we're going to look at some passages here in chapter 1 and 2. Can you imagine any kind of entity on earth growing, now watch this, in about a 9-hour period of time, from 120 people to 3,120. I'm not talking about a global entity, you know, made possible by some process on the internet, but a local visible entity located in a city of approximately 80,000 people. Okay? Now, I've heard that this Tri-City area of Bradley, Bourbonnais, Kankakee has a population right now, talking about within the city limits of those three villages, towns, a population of around 60,000, maybe 100,000 in the county. So you think of some entity in our area experiencing that kind of growth from 120 to 3,120 in about an 8 or 9 hour period of time in one day. I mean, even with modern technology and communication advantages, none of us can imagine that kind of explosion in growth in an eight-hour period of time. It's incredible. But that's exactly what happened on this special day in Jerusalem, 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, look at verse number 41. There are two words I want you to look here. The first word I want you to see is the second word in the verse, then they. And then the other word is the word I'm preaching on this morning, the word them, they and them. So this is a reference to two groups of people in Jerusalem on this day. So let's talk for a moment about the they. I'm not going to be on the they very long. They, who are they? They, those are the people who heard the truth in Peter's message about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and trusted completely and fully in what Jesus did for their salvation. And brother, when you do that, it's exactly what we talked about at the beginning. It's eternal. It's done. Okay? They not only were saved, they were baptized. They were not only were saved and baptized, they were added to them. Look at the end of the verse. There were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So the they was about 3,000 people added to the them. The them is a reference to that group of 120 that were in the room together at the beginning of the day. We know there was 120 from chapter 1. We won't go there and look at it, but there's 120 in this upper room. We know that from chapter 1. And the they, 3,000, were added to that 120. Now you think about that. 3,000 theys were added to 120 thems. 3,120 is an increase of 25 times over the original 120, which equals to a 2,500% increase. Now, what do you know happening like that in an 8-hour time period? 2,500% increase? You know what I say? The thems had a big day. The them's had a big day. The them's had a big, had a great day, okay? A good day. Now, look, we're so familiar with what happened on the day of Pentecost that we just kind of, you know, roll right over these numbers and don't take time to think about it. But we're talking about an explosion, folks. That is an amazing happening. And again, even more so when you consider, hey, if something's going on around town now, you know, everybody thinks, what are you going to do? You're going to text somebody. Hey, this is happening at such a, you're going to call. They didn't have the advantage of the modern means of communication that we have. Nobody could text family or friends and say, hey, get down here, something's happening. That didn't happen, all right? This is a remarkable, remarkable event. And I want us to consider this morning a three practical truths about the thems. Not the theys. Not the 3,000. But the 120, the thems. Before I get to that, let me say I am not urging us to experience 2,500% growth as a church. That would require another building program, and my hair is white enough already, okay? So I'm not talking about church growth. What I'm burdened for, what I'm concerned is that we experience the power of God that was working in and through those 120. That we experience that in our church. You know, if the power of God works in and through our church, we're going to see people saved. If the power of God works in and through our church, we'll see people baptized. We'll see people added to the church. And lives changed. You know what? That ultimately leads to growth. But growth is not my burden. My burden this morning is God working in us and working through us. Because here's the bottom line, folks. What happened on this day was the result of God's power.
Amen.
Understand that. God's power. What happened on this day was the result of God's mighty hand. Was the result of God's Spirit. Yes, God worked through people. God worked through the 120. But it was God working through them. The work that took place on this day was a spiritual work. Spiritual in nature. People were born again. People were baptized. People joined the church. It was spiritual in nature. It was not the result of the disciples' strength. It was not the result of their arm of flesh. It was the result of God's Spirit. Doing a great work through 120 people. 120. In the last couple of weeks, I am hungry. I'm hungry to see the power of God working in the life of our church. You know what that means? That means working in our lives because we are the 120. I want to point out, like I said, three truths about this group of 120. It's very simple this morning. Very, very simple. Number one, the 120 were obedient. The 120 were obedient. Look at chapter 1 and verse number 12, okay? Now, you're going to have to stay with me a little bit because I've got to give you the setting and the context and all that's going on for all this to make sense. Look at chapter 1 and I'll get it here in a minute. I wrote down the wrong verse. Yeah, chapter 1, verse 12. If I'm in the right place in my Bible, I'll be there. Chapter 1, verse 12. All right, here we go. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. Now, here, listen to me. That's not the setting. This was right after Jesus had ascended to heaven from the Mount of Olives. Are we together? Okay. He leads this group out to the Mount of Olives, and he talks to them out there, and he gives them a promise. He gives them some instruction. And then he starts ascending to heaven. And so the disciples, they watch him defy gravity and ascend into the sky. And then they're just standing there with intensity, gazing up into heaven. And two angels show up, and they say, hey, what are you guys doing gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that just went up to heaven shall so come in like manner from heaven. So the angels gave him a promise. So understand what's happening, okay? Jesus is gone. The angels speak to these folks, and then the angels disappear. So now what? Because Jesus is gone and the angels are gone, what do they do now? What does this group of disciples do? You know what they did? They obeyed Jesus. Because right before this trip to the Mount of Olives, Jesus had given the 11 and others gathered with them a promise and some instruction. We don't have time to turn to it, but jot it down. Luke chapter 24, verse number 49. Listen to what Jesus told them. I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem. Now watch this. Until you be endued with power from on high. Jesus had just told this group that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. That was their mission. But before you begin your mission, you go to Jerusalem and you tarry. You know what the word tarry means? It means to sit down. It means to wait. You ever told a group of men to go be patient? Go sit down and wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And so then Jesus takes off to heaven not long after that. The angels come and say he's coming back someday in like manner. And then they disappear. So what are we going to do? We're going to do exactly what Jesus told us to do. He told us to go from the Mount of Olives back to the city of Jerusalem and to sit down and to wait until we are endued. What's endued mean? Endued means clothed. It's the sense of putting on clothes. What were they to be endued with? Power. But not just any power. Power from on high. Where does power from on high come from? It comes from God. Boys. Ladies, go back to the city of Jerusalem and you sit down and you wait until you're clothed with power from on high. God's power. So that's what they did. They obeyed him. They returned to Jerusalem and they waited. There did not seem to be any other choice. And people, can I remind us of this today? Obedience is always, has always, is now, and will be the key to blessing. Amen. And they obeyed. And 10 days later, this group of 120 were blessed with power from on high. Obedience to Christ's command was paramount in them receiving the blessing. Now, today we're not told to sit down and wait for the endowment of power from heaven. This group of disciples was given those specific instructions. But I want to remind you, we are instructed to be filled with the same power from on high that they were filled with as we seek to serve Christ. And people, this power comes from doing exactly what they did. This power comes from praying and waiting and asking God to fill us with His Spirit and give us power from on high to accomplish our mission. That's what we're supposed to do. That's obedience. I wonder how much does disobedience cost the church? How much does disobedience cost the church? Because this is exactly the same thing is true about you and me today. We are not supposed to go through serving Christ with the arm of our flesh. We're supposed to have His touch. His power on what we do. And if we don't get this down, if we're not obedient to Him in this area, we're not going to see God working in us and through us like we need to see God work. You know, if you can broaden this, and you can broaden this to any time truth is presented, what you and I do with it, we either receive. Hold your place here. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let me show you what Paul said to the church at Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm sorry, chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I'll find it with you because I don't have it marked. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And look with me at verse number 15, okay? Verse number 15. Paul's talking about the ministry, his ministry, going into different places. And look at what he says in verse number 15. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. Now look at verse 16. To the one we are the savor, the smell of death unto death, and to other the savor of life unto life. You say, what is he talking about? I'll tell you exactly what he's talking about. Paul said we go into a place and we preach the truth of God's word, and it has two different effects on people. One group of people is like, that is a beautiful smell. You know what those people are? They are the ones who receive it. They're the ones who act upon it. They're the ones who obey it. And they are the ones that experience life unto life. Christianity is alive. Their life's alive. Then there's the other group. You hear the truth? I don't care for that too much. It's too inconvenient. It's too this or that. And they've lost their own. And what Paul said to that group, the preaching of the word of God is death unto death. What that means, when you lock down on truth, it only gets worse, not better. When you lock down on truth, it only gets worse, not better. That's what he's saying. When you receive truth and act upon it, brother, it's like, phew. But when you hear truth and you lock down and say, you know what, I just don't. You knock in your head. It's going to get worse, not better. And then, by the way, you know what? Look at the last verse. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. You know what Paul's saying? I'm not going to change my message to accommodate the death unto death crowd. I'm not going to change my message to pacify those who listen and lock down. Stroke them. Just to keep them in the fold. To keep their money coming in the plate. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to preach the Word of God in truth. And you know what? Those who receive it and obey it and embrace it and say, this is right. This is God's book. This is what I'm doing. I may not understand it all. I may not even can explain it all. But if it's truth, I'm in. Life unto life. But if I lock down and say, no, that's too much. Death unto death. And I'm not changing it. Paul said, I'm not changing. I'm not going to make the Word of God palatable for people who are going to lock down. Amen. That's what's happening in a lot of places today, brother. How can I temper this so that those who lock down will at least put up with it? Not doing that. Not doing that. I'm telling you, back to Acts, I wonder how much disobedience will cost a church. Look, Jesus' command to you and me, our mission is the same now as it was in those days. Repentance and remission of sin should be preached in Jesus' name throughout the entire world. You know what that means? That means the only way to be saved is through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You come confessing the fact that you're a sinner, you can't get yourself to heaven, and you believe in what Jesus did for you, and that's the finished work, and I receive it, and I'm saved. Okay? That's our mission. That's our mission. But before they started on their mission, Jesus told them, you go get the power. How would they get it? Wait. Pray. Tarry. Look, there's nothing wrong with the church having a time of prayer, asking God to heal sick people, asking God to comfort grieving people, to encourage discouraged people. That's reasonable. That's helpful. But folks, in order for us to carry out our mission of spreading the gospel, we need to seek His power. We have prayer meeting on Wednesday night. What's that for? People having surgery. People sick. Not against that. How much of our praying is tarrying for His power? And we've seen it, folks. We've seen God work in His power. We've seen God do some amazing. I was just going back years ago, and I think this was, I believe it was still in the old building. We had a couple that that retired from the Air Force, and they were just passing through Kankakee, and they ended up down in Arizona. The man was in the Air Force, and they were here just for a few weeks. And it was right before they left. It was his brother. He said, my brother and my sister-in-law live in Kankakee, and they don't go to church anywhere. They're lost, and she's about to have a baby. Give me the name, the address, and say, would you pray for them? I said, sure. Well, I believe the wife had just had the baby. She's at Riverside. I went down to Riverside Hospital, and standing in his room, no nurse comes in, no doctor comes in for probably 35 minutes, and I share with that lady salvation story, and she trusts Christ as her Savior. Ray and I went to Eric's house, sat down at his kitchen table. Her husband presented the gospel to Eric. Well, nothing to do with it. But we had men's prayer meeting in those days on Saturday nights, and we prayed for Eric to be saved. And out of the blue, I was getting ready to go to the God Save America meeting at the college in Crown Point. How's that? When Eric called me out of the blue. I said, Pastor Angel, he said, man, I forget exactly all that he said, but it was obvious his mind was on eternity. It was obvious that God was working on his heart. And he said, I said, Eric, we'll be there Saturday. It was probably 2 or 3 weeks. We sat at the same kitchen table, the same chairs, in the same place. Eric here, me here, Ray there. Same place, 3 or 4 weeks apart, same house, same man. And now it's, and right on his knees to trust Christ as his Savior. You know what that is? That's called the power of God. That's all that is. That's not me. It's the power of God. And this is what we need. This is what we must have as a church. So with the 120, they were obedient in praying for God's power to come upon them. And we're going to emphasize this in the fall program. It's going to be different this year. You're going to hear about some of it tonight. They were obedient. They were obedient. Second of all, I want you to notice the 120 were one. That's the longest point, so relax, okay? All right, I don't know. The 120 were not only obedient, they were one. Look at Acts chapter 1. Look at verse number 14. You're right there. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Acts chapter 2, verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So twice the scriptures emphasize that this group of 120 was one. 120 was one. They were of one accord. Now, the simple definition of one accord is unanimous. Unanimous. Folks, if there are 120 people and a vote is taken and the result of that vote is unanimous, what is the tally? What are the numbers? 119 to 1? That's not unanimous. What's unanimous? 120 to 0. So you know what that means? That means this group of 120 were in total agreement.
Amen.
Same agreement. Okay? The broader definition of one accord is extremely interesting. I don't do this often, but those three English words, with one accord. With one accord. They are translated from one Greek word. And by the way, I don't have an issue with that. If you go from English to Spanish, sometimes you've got to use three Spanish words for one English word and vice versa. So I have a problem with it. So here's one Greek word, and it's translated into English with one accord. That one Greek word is a compound word. It has two words. It comes from two words, meaning to rush along and in unison. To rush along in unison. To these 120 unanimously rushed along in unison. They were of one mind. They were of one passion. Think of 120 people singing a song, a hymn in unison. That is what? They are all singing what? melody. 120 voices, some in a higher octave, some in a lower octave, but all of them are following the same melody note. That's rushing along in unison. One mind, one passion, one accord. So what are they in one accord about? What are they in one mind about? What are they in one passion about? What are they rushing along in unison about? Well, I believe all we have to do is follow the progression that's laid out for us in Scripture. And I'm not going to read every verse. Look at chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus promises them that they're going to receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon them. That's why He told them to go to Jerusalem and wait. Wait for God's power to come on you. So that's what He told them. Verse number 9, Jesus goes to heaven. Verse number 10 and 11, the promise is given by the angels that He's coming back. Verse number 12 and 13, then returned they unto Jerusalem, and they entered into an upper room. Verse number 14, these all continued with one accord, rushing along in unison, unanimously together. What are they unanimously rushing along in unison together about? We need God's power. What else could it be? We need God's touch. We need God's Spirit. Not, well, we need a new this. We need to paint this color. We need to get a new air conditioning unit. We need to do this. Hey, why don't we start this? That's not what they were doing. 120 of them were unanimously rushing along in unison together in one accord for one thing. Oh, God, give us Your power. Look what happened. How many of us are singing that same note today? How many of us are of one mind and one passion about our church having the power of God and effectively witnessing? How many of us are rushing along in unison with each other concerning the salvation of souls, the rescuing of people from the grip of the kingdom of darkness? One mind. One passion. You know, if we could open the thought thread. Hear about text threads, right? If we could open the thought thread of all the minds in this room from over the last several hours, how many of us would be on the same note? How many of us would be rushing along in unison, unanimously, desiring and hoping for the power of the Holy Spirit to be poured out on us, for the salvation of souls, for God to do a work in hearts? How many of us have been thinking about everything else in the world but that? Oh, me. Oh, me. Well, I sure hope we have coffee in Sunday school. Well, I sure hope the choir sings a good song today, which they did. I sure hope Pastor Angel has an interesting message today. That's up for grabs. Where's the one mind and one passion? Oh, God, work in our services.
Amen.
Oh, God, work in our church.
Amen.
Who cares what the choir sings? Who cares if we have coffee or no coffee for Sunday school? Who gives a rip? That's not the most important thing, folks. I wonder if so-and-so wear what kind of dress today, what color dress. Where is God's power? I want to pick this pulpit up and just throw it. Not because I'm angry, just I'm eaten up with this. That's what a church needs. That's what happened here. One mind, one passion. We've seen the results of that in years gone by in our church. We've seen God do some wonderful things through unity. But right now, I'm not certain how many of us are on the same note concerning the church's main responsibility. And people, listen, it's not just the... Are your eyes open? Are your eyes open? Are you seeing discerningly? Are you looking through spiritual, through the eyes of God at this world right now, it's not just the drug abuse. It's not just the drunkenness. It's not just the promiscuous lifestyle or the gambling addiction from which people need to be rescued. It is the satanic philosophies that permeate this world. People growing up, boys and girls, youth growing up without Jesus Christ, growing up permeating with the philosophies of this world are in trouble. They don't know which bathroom to use. Yeah, drugs are still out there. Yeah, alcohol's still out there. Yeah, you know, gambling is still out there. But it's the philosophies of this world. Because you're a certain ethnicity, you're racist. It's just inundating. And those things are as damning to people's souls as drug abuse and alcohol and all the rest is. These people need to be rescued. Rescued. And it's going to take more than a conservative executive branch, a conservative legislative branch, a conservative judicial branch in our government. It's going to take more than a vibrant economy and a strong military. It's going to take more than affordable housing and fair market competition. What this world needs is God and His book. Where is your burning about it? Where is our passion about it? Well, our country's going to get turned around next year with the midterms. Come on! Well, wait till 2024. Don't hold your breath. I want to tell you something. We need God. We need God in our homes. We need God in our life. We need God in our community. We need God in our we need God in this world. And that's what these folks were of one mind, one passion, one accord. All 120 singing the same note. God, we need you. Whew. Part of our problem is half of us don't even believe the Word of God. We just, oh yeah, that's a nice story. Nice story. A group of people growing 2,500% in 8 hours is a nice story. And it's not just the growth. People were translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Whew. 120 were obedient. 120 were one. 120, number three, overcomers. I'm done. Acts chapter 2. Look at verse number 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the what? Spirit gave them utterance. The power of the Holy Spirit allowed them to overcome some serious barriers in communicating the gospel to those in Jerusalem. They were living under 2021. Martyrs. Listen. They were living under an oppressive government that considered them a nuisance and a problem. This is not new. There were very opposing sentiments about Jesus Christ. There was much stacked against them. But the one element that gave them the distinct advantage was the power of God's Spirit. God's Spirit made them overcomers in a world in which they would probably have been overcome without. And I wonder if that's not what's happening to the church today. We are being overcome because we have everything on our minds except for the power of God. I don't expect to see the majority of the Kankakee River Valley population come to salvation in Jesus Christ. That would be wonderful. I'll tell you what I would like. I'd like to see a man get saved and experience a changed life. I would like to see a woman's life completely turned upside down because she received the gospel. I would love to see a family, a teenager, a young adult, another kid on the bus rescued from the ravages of this sin-sick world. I would love to see God work. miraculously, like these 120 saw. They were obedient. They were one. They were overcomers. Lord, as of old, at Pentecost, Thou didst Thy power display with cleansing, purifying flame. Descend on us today. Lord, send the old time power, the Pentecostal power. Thy floodgates of blessing on us throw open wide. Lord, send the old time power, the Pentecostal power, that sinners be converted and Thy name glorified. Last statement. We need to be like them. Them. Obedient. One. Overcoming. Father, bless the message to our hearts this morning. How it stirred in my soul for many days now. Lord, I pray that You'll help our church not to be satisfied with just meeting and having a good time through music and fellowship while people all over our area are being ravaged by this sin-sick world, caught up in its death grip. Lord, we need to see Your power. We've got to have it. We've just got to have it. Oh, God, please. Stir our hearts about it today. Oh, reach down to every Sunday school teacher and every bus worker. Beyond that, Lord, to every choir member, every teenager, every adult that sits in a class, in a pew. God, please. Help us to hunger and tarry and wait upon You to see Your power in our church, in our lives, that results in seeing people saved and their lives changed. Oh, God, please. Please pour out Your Pentecostal power upon us. Fill us with Your Spirit. Clean us up. Give us one mind, one passion. Help us to be obedient. Speak to us today. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Who would say, Pastor, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart this morning. I'm saved. On my way to heaven, but God's, I must be honest, God's Spirit dealt with me about something. Can I see Your hand? Admission of God working in your heart today. Amen. Thank you. Take your hands down. I appreciate it. Let me ask this question. Is there anybody here today? You're not sure that you're saved. I talked about being saved and the life-changing experience of salvation. Are you sure that you're saved? Anybody here today, you're not sure you're saved. Can I pray for you? Is God's working in your heart? Would you lift your hand and just say, Pastor, with my hand, I'm asking you to pray for me. Anybody like that today, pray for me. If you've been saved, you know you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Don't lock down. Be obedient. It's only going to get worse if you lock down. Life unto life for obedience. Are you of one mind, one passion, one heart? Are you singing the same note? Can we all get on the same note together? Do we want to see God work? Help us to be overcomers. You let God speak to you today, please, about them. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Our pianist begins a song of invitation and the altar is open. Would you come today? Lord, I want to be one of them. I want to be of them. She's playing quietly. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let me ask you, just please, let's sing the same note. It's okay to anticipate coming to Sunday school and enjoying fellowship. But beneath that, let's sing the same note. One mind, one passion, oh God. Oh God, work. Oh God, work. Display your power, please. Put your strength on full display for everybody to see. God, speak to us. Help us. Anoint, endue, put the clothes on. Clothe us with your power. Clothe us with your power. Not some kind of wild gibberish that makes no sense, but that power that convinces hearts, changes lives. Can we get on the same note about that? Can we get on the same mind about that, the same passion? Please. My Father, I thank you this morning for the privilege to worship here with these folks in this room. And God, what we preached this morning really wasn't made just to stay in the four walls of this room. It's made to take to the community, to the world. They need to be saved. But we need your power. We've got to have your power. Must see your hand working in our hearts and lives and in our church. Favor us with it, even when we don't deserve it, I pray in Jesus' name.